Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Motor delays are common in children, but early recognition can optimize the outcomes, and with timely referrals from the medical home to pediatric specialists and developmental therapists, we can help our children overcome some of these motor delays maybe sooner than we even thought. And my guest is Dr. Gary Noritz. He's an internist and pediatrician at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Noritz. Tell us a little bit about this new what we're learning about early detection and diagnosis of motor delays.
Sure, Melanie. And first of all, thank you for having me on the show. We published a paper which was just came out yesterday to talk about how motor development ought to be screened for in the medical home and what we as doctors should do about it once we find it. We know from talking to parents and that. Often children with various motor disabilities, they had told their pediatrician about concerns about how the child was developing and were told, to wait and watch, maybe were referred for therapy, but not for a diagnostic workup, maybe for a diagnostic workup, but not for therapy. And we think it's really important that when we hear those concerns from parents that we take them seriously, we examine the children thoroughly, and we get them off to a diagnostic workup as well as a therapeutic referral as quickly as possible.
So what are we looking for, and what should parents be, because sometimes we might spot some things before we get to the pediatrician for our well visit or things. And parents, Dr. Noritz, we, tend to freak out a little bit. In case you didn't know,
I'm a parent, and I know, and I freak out myself.
And you're a pediatrician, so
yeah.
You see both sides of this, and so maybe they're not grasping the Cheerios that we've put down. Maybe they're scooting with one leg tucked under when they really should be crawling. But these don't always signal actual motor delays. How do we know the red flags from what could be just different children at different ages?
Well, I think that's very important to recognize is that. When we say that, or a child ought to walk by 12 months, that's not a hard and fast rule. And in fact, if you look at many children, they walk. Many kids start walking at 9 months, and lots of kids don't start walking until 15 months. But a lot of people, parents and pediatricians, have in their head that children ought to walk by 12 months. But that's really just an average. And so some kids are going to be on the earlier side, and some kids are going to be on the later side. We do worry when kids aren't walking independently by 18 months. That usually does indicate some kind of a problem. But the questions that we ought to be asking our families are, and that the families ought to recognize, is there anything that the kid used to do that they can't do anymore? They used to be able to walk, now they don't walk. That would certainly be a very big red flag. When you compare what the child can do to other kids of the same age or about the same age, there certainly can be some amount of variation, but anybody who's very far behind, we would certainly be worried about. Is there anything about the quality of the movement that the kids do? And so one little pearl that I think about is that kids really shouldn't establish whether they're left-handed or right-handed until they're 18 months of age. And so a kid that looks like they're definitely left-handed or definitely right-handed at younger ages, that may indicate a problem with the other side. And so kids that look like they crawl funny or look like they walk funny, those are kids that really need to be looked at carefully.
Okay, because, there's a lot of these things, and as we said, different kids go at different ages, so parents are keeping their eye out. What would say, call the doctor, let's get this checked out, because both parents and pediatrician need to be involved in this.
Right.
So, give us a little bit of, he's maybe crawling funny or he's not doing that, but how long does it go on before you call the pediatrician?
Right. Well, the nice thing about these motor screening recommendations, and really about well child care in general is that a child should be seen by the pediatrician multiple times during the first 2 years of life when hopefully we're going to pick up most of these problems. And so we see all these kids at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 15 months, 18 months of age, and at 24 months. And so often it's not a single event that says, oh, there's something wrong here. It's the repeated surveillance by the pediatrician and the repeated conversations that the family has with the pediatrician that lead you to recognize that there's something different about the kid. And so it's the well child visits are spaced close enough together that you usually don't need an extra visit to get these done, but you need to bring up these things when you're at a regular well child visit.
So now early intervention, I know that state by state, there, and my daughter went through early intervention for speech therapy, and now, of course, she doesn't stop talking at 10 years old. But the early intervention system is amazing, really.
It is. It's a wonderful system. It's mandated by law. It is how exactly it works is different state to state, but it entitles any child with a concern of developmental delay to an evaluation by developmental specialists up until the age of 3. And so that would be the usual place that the pediatrician would start with a referral for if they do recognize that a kid is behind in motor skills or language skills. The very first thing, and so most pediatricians are very well connected to the early intervention specialists in their communities. But a big thing that we're trying to put forward with this report is that it can't be just referring for therapy, which is what the early intervention referral is for. If there's really a concern, there needs to be a diagnostic workup as well. And that diagnostic workup really can begin in the general pediatrician or general pediatrician's office and may involve referrals to neurologists or geneticists or developmental pediatricians or physical medicine doctors, depending on what resources are available in the community. But you know, we don't send children to the physical therapist to get a diagnosis. We send them there to get therapy, and vice versa. We send a kid to a specialist to get a specific diagnosis of what's causing the motor delay, but they actually need to go to therapists to work on the motor delay.
Okay, so for parents, in the last minute and a half that we have left, Dr. Nortz, wrap this up so that parents understand that early identification and evaluation of these motor delays can really lead to, you know, better outcomes for children, whether it's speech or grasping or crawling, walking, gross motor skills, any of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. When a kid is behind, we want to get them into the therapy as quickly as we can. That should improve the outcome. It should. Those kids that are behind but are destined to catch up, they should catch up more quickly. And for those kids that actually do have diseases like cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, where they are going to have significant challenges, getting them properly diagnosed and into therapy as quickly as possible will also improve their outcome.
So parents need to be on the lookout. They need to work with their pediatrician on finding these developmental motor delays, and by seeing the children play during their well visits, during their evaluations, is how both can identify and figure out these motor delays and get them taken care of. The early intervention system in your state, you just have to look it up. They're different by states, but it is the law, and they're amazing. The early intervention systems are really, really amazing. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD and Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Remember to like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. Have a great day. Stay well.